Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
So klingt frische Musik. Und so klingt frische bei Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten. 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere Angebote zum Aldi-Preis. Und weiter geht's mit frischer Musik für jeden Geschmack. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone, good morning. Welcome to this Triforce podcast, which will probably be going out over the Christmas time.
Wow.
And my doorbell is just ringing. Hang on a second.
It's all right. We can fill.
Perfect
we can
timing.
Fill. How have you been this week, Sips?
I've been not as sick as you this week, it sounds like. You sound a little bit raspy.
Oh, just something. Came in on Monday. I started to feel poorly. I think it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. I just sort of woke up and I just thought, oh, God. Like on Sunday, I thought I could feel a hint of something coming on. You know, when you get that coldy inbound sort of feeling. And then Monday, it was like, yeah, I actually am sick.
Yeah.
And then,
it's the worst feeling, isn't it? When you get that drip at the back of your throat leading up to
you know
like
it's
a full,
coming. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh,
I'm back.
Man, that's
and I,
the worst.
It's all right. And I had that thing where, you know when you have a headache and it just seems like the outside of your head? It's like a surface headache. And then scratchy voice and people, everyone in chat is like, oh my God, it's COVID. I don't have a cough or a temperature.
So it just shows, I guess, that the common cold is stronger than COVID, I'm guessing.
It's just, how? How
is
have
it
I
more
got
infectious? It must have a bigger trans. Do you know what I mean? You must have like each of these things, like once you get a certain amount of people vaccinated with COVID, right? It won't be able to spread because there'll be like too much herd immunity.
Right, yeah,
that's kind of how disease works, right?
Yeah.
But I guess the
common
cold.
There's a new
cold,
strain of it, apparently. Did you hear about this new,
who knows, dude,
new deadly strain? Of,
I don't, yeah.
They said
I don't
that previously.
It's going to affect
yeah.
they said
the vaccinations, though. Because it's the same thing with the flu jab. Like, I think that if you can still get enough people protected, even if the vaccine isn't as strong against a different strain, it'll reduce the sort of what the R number, if you like, how much it can spread,
right,
like how many people spread it to other people.
I mean, isn't the main thing with the cold that there's like loads and loads and loads of little cold viruses out there just extant all the time chilling? And there's like, because of the type of, it's not a virus, is it? The cold is, I don't know what it is.
It's a virus.
Is it a virus?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When people say, I have a cold, why don't they say, I have a virus?
Some people do. You hear that more so
do.
In the UK. It's like, they say, oh, I've got some sort of virus or whatever. They
but
don't
I always
necessarily
think of a,
just default at cold.
But a virus, to me, is something you can treat with antibiotics, whereas a cold is something you can't. Like, so I thought there
no,
was a difference.
Virus very specifically isn't antibiotics. Bacterial infections are.
So when I have a chest infection, is that bacteria in my body?
Yes, usually. Well, it depends. That can be caused by virus. It's complicated.
That's what I'm saying.
It is complicated.
Anyway.
Listen, I have a COVID story for you guys. If you would like to hear it. This is the first time I think I've been affected by COVID beyond the sort of general lockdown or whatever. We're currently in full isolation and we have been for a couple of days because my son was in contact with somebody last Monday. The Monday before last. They think that he was on a bus with somebody who has subsequently tested positive for COVID and was therefore directly in contact with this person and is now being forced to isolate. And I have to take him to be tested today. I have to take him to have a test.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a day 10 test.
I'm looking
to see
forward
if he's
to seeing
positive or negative.
I don't want to hear the story
about that. My eldest has been, her entire year has been sent home for the last week of school. So she's home.
Right.
And she's homeschooling. And because a couple of kids in her year have tested positive. We're keeping my youngest home from school as well, because obviously she shares a room with her sister, and we're all just kind of staying at home. I mean, I've been self-isolating since March anyway, as much as possible, just living indoors, like I was saying to Sips. I don't know how I got a cold. I don't leave the house, but they
do. No, but if your kids are at school and stuff, they bring stuff back, right?
Exactly. Like
there's still stuff floating around. But
so that's why we're keeping them home, because, you know.
Yeah. So with my son, in my son's case, he's on this bus. They use this bus to take them up to do swimming every Monday.
Right, right.
And they've identified that whoever has gone on test positive for COVID was on the same bus, right? So everybody who was on that bus has to isolate, but the rest of his class doesn't. So half of his class, or like three quarters of his class, are still going back to school, you know, operating normally or whatever. Mm. And it's just the kids that were on the bus that are now having to isolate. But we've only found out about this like 7-8 days after the fact, right? Mm. So like, I don't know. It feels like he had the whole rest of the week at school with all the other kids in his class. Like he had the whole weekend. Like he went up to see
his
granny and stuff. We went to town. Like we did a whole bunch of stuff on the weekend because obviously we had no idea. We were just sort of carrying on as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
And then went to school on Monday, even this Monday. And then at the end of the day on Monday, they contact us and they're like, oh yeah, he's got to isolate. He's going to have to go get a test and stuff. You guys will all have to isolate with him. He can't leave the house, nothing. And it's like, I get it. Like, I know that kids aren't like able to spread it as easily or whatever, but it just feels like the time that it takes for somebody to show symptoms, to then test them, to then get a result and everything. I feel like if my son does have it, which I don't actually think he does have it,
right,
but he might. I mean, it's possible. And if he does, I feel like he would have spread it around to a ton of people.
It's already too late, you know what I mean?
Like, it feels like I get that they're doing like the best that they can given the circumstance or whatever. But I, like, part of me also thinks like, holy crap, I can see how it's spreading so much. You know what I mean? It's just like impossible to. It's impossible to isolate people from it, like in an appropriate amount of time, you know?
I mean, it's obvious, there's lots of reasons why it's problematic. And I think some of it is the fact that some people don't show symptoms when they're sick.
Yeah.
I think some people are more resistant to the symptoms as well. And they're like, I'm not really sick. It's just a little cough, you know, or just something like that. They don't have it as severely. And so, you know, I think those are the sort of super spreader people who end up causing these big
bloody
outbreaks.
Bloody super spreaders.
Because out of their own ignorance, though, they don't realize that they're sick. And but before, there was no way to even test, you know. There was no way for you even to think, oh, well, maybe I am sick, maybe I should. Yeah. You know, especially if you're like, well, if your boss is like, well, you know, you're coming in or else you're going to lose your job.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff's very tough to deal with, isn't it? Like, you know, there's no, if you're not given an out. I guess like the vaccines come in, though, which is interesting. And here in the UK, anyway, we were the first people to approve this vaccine, and we've been jabbing old folks left, right, and
centre. Yeah, they've even started rolling it out here in Jersey. There's a couple of old people.
Who did they do? They did Ian McKellen this morning, apparently. So I reckon we need to get all the other national treasures sorted out. We need to get Dame Helen Mirren done, Stephen Fry.
Richard Attenborough needs
oh
one.
Oh my God, David Attenborough. Richard Attenborough's dead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry, he David. Yeah. I always get the
That's all right.
Mixed up.
Dig him up, he's a treasure.
Judy Dench, Trevor McDonald,
Patrick Stewart.
I mean, Barbara Windsor unfortunately died this week.
Yeah, yeah, she's passed away, unfortunately.
Has the Queen been done?
Oh, God, I'm
the
sure Queen's she has. Been Phil Mitchell.
Yeah, I think she's likely been done, but you won't hear about it until long after the fact, right?
Because is Dale Winton still alive?
Dale Winton, I don't think is, actually.
I think he died, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure he passed away.
Dead?
Yeah, yeah, he did. He died 2 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, he was looking really rough. I don't know what he died of, but I remember.
Let's get all the judges.
He did like some Dale Goes to Florida show or something, and man, I couldn't believe it. He looked like he was on his way out, even in that. He just looked
dear.
Awful.
We got to get the entire cast and crew of.
This wasn't
of Strictly.
That old, you know. He was only like he was born in 1972. He's only 8 years older than me. It's like
he's had a hard life.
Yeah,
sweeping
no,
supermarkets.
He was He was 62 when he died. He was born in 1955, Dale Winton.
Are you looking at Dale Winton?
Oh, sorry. He was born in 1955. Oh, sorry. Years active, I was looking at.
Right.
On Wikipedia, sorry. Yeah.
David Jason. We need to,
is he still alive?
Is he still going?
I thought he
David
died.
Jason's still alive. Still yeah, wow. He's still going.
He's 80.
Dale Boyd.
He looks 80 as well, crikey.
What about
Maggie Smith? Is she still
Maggie
going?
Smith, Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Paul McCartney is still going,
fuck
yeah.
Paul McCartney.
Ringo as well. Ringo's 80 now.
Good Lord.
You can't do Paul and not do Ringo, right?
No,
you
I'm saying to. Let's do Ringo and not do Paul. George Harrison died, didn't he?
He died a long time ago.
He was the best of them.
2001.
Joanna Lumley, is she still going? She's still... I feel like every National Treasure, I also say... Are they still
going? Yeah. No, Joanna Lumley's still going.
Liz Hurley. Can we get Liz Hurley done,
still
please?
Going, yeah.
Oh, please.
And Nigella.
God.
Nigella.
Yes, Christ. These are important, because if we lose any of these folks, Britain's going to be crushed.
Tess Daly.
You know, I think it's more important for
Tess
our national
Daly's
spirit.
Still going. Man, is Tess Daly ever going?
Holy That's crap. What I'm saying. We got to protect that.
I reckon we don't even bring him in to inject him. We just do one of those tranquilizer darts, you know, that they
we just
to
hunt them down and
with.
Zap them.
Tess Daly looks like she's 20. It's crazy, and she's like 50 or something.
She's a hottie. She's married to that lad Vernon Kay, isn't she?
Yeah.
He's a prick.
He cheated on her too.
Yeah, with like don't give him the injection. Give her the injection.
Vernon, you're not getting it, okay? I'm sorry to say. You can't treat someone like that and then expect to get a vaccination. I mean, it just doesn't work like that, Vernon.
I'm looking forward to a time when it goes back to normal, and I'm sure everyone else is as well.
I think
this has been a
very weird time. I hate how they say the new norm and the new normal and stuff like that. I hate all these new words that have come off the back of COVID, shielding and bubbling and the new normal and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's going to take a really, really, really long time to get back to 100% normal. You know what I mean? If ever.
Agreed.
I
think
I really want to know how... I've not really watched any soaps lately, but I assume like TV soaps are dealing
with
it.
Yeah, they have
fine.
To incorporate it in. Most soaps are based, well, British soaps at least are based in some form of present day reality, right? So they usually will try to tackle topics like EastEnders, for example. I don't really watch it. My wife watches it. But there's always,
sure
they
have to tap into the real world.
They do,
as well
yeah.
The
but there's always
too.
Like, at the end of certain episodes, if they've dealt with like, you know, mental health or something, they're
yeah,
like,
they have that
if
hotline.
Anything in this show has affected you, you can call this hotline to speak to somebody or whatever. And I think it's the same with COVID.
Do you reckon when you call that hotline, it's a recording by one of the cast members in character?
Yeah.
Like it's still
right, mate. Thanks for calling the hotline.
I heard you've been having trouble with your mental health. Come down to the calf. And me and Grant will sort it right out with you.
Yeah, it is.
Listen,
I think it is a bit like
that.
Do
you owe money to some bald cunt? Well, you better pay that fucking money back, you prick. Or else we'll fucking come over here and we'll mug you right off.
We'll mug you right off, son. We'll murk you.
Yeah.
You heard me?
I think it's a bit like that. But yeah, I think they just basically, because they do have to distance while filming and wear masks and stuff, I think they've incorporated a lot of it into the actual shows, you know?
Well, like, two things. First of all, Tom Cruise, in rare likable mode, bollocking crewmates for not wearing their masks on the set of Mission Impossible.
Rare likable mode. That was like one of those fucking... I listened to that Tom Cruise audio where he was going off on one at the crew, and it was just like...
It was like,
what was that?
Excellent.
It was mad.
I was with
him. It was madness, though. It was so aggressive and so unnecessary and so like crazy. I get it.
I have a feeling he's under a lot of pressure because... They can get shut down like that. Here, listen, hold on. I don't know if the mic picked up my finger snap. Like that. Because if they're spotted fucking it up, there goes the whole movie. And he's right that the industry is, you know, is this possible to make a big budget action movie with a megastar like Tom Cruise? Is it possible under these restrictions? So this is like a big test case. And some dingus fucking it up. I'm with Tom, actually. You know,
are people on the side of Tom Cruise for that rant?
I think he's right. That rant. Tom Cruise. Rant.
Tom Cruise
that
rant. Has done a rant.
Mr. Cruise ranting. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Why is it? You said soap operas tend to be set in our reality. I would like one that was set in a very slightly different reality.
Well,
I'm not saying spells and magic. I'm saying,
yeah, look
you know,
no further. further than, I guess, like the Archers, like the radio one is a little bit like,
yeah,
that's not set. I don't know if that's reality. Meant to be hyper realistic. I mean, no, most soaps aren't, but I think the Archers is like, it feels to me like it's a little bit more of a, I don't know, like an idealistic
right,
view
right. But
of
I'm
life.
Saying
sort of thing,
I want right? it to be like an alternate history timeline. Oh. Where they're like, wow, can you believe that the Crankies are now the leaders of the free world, you know?
Right, okay.
And, yeah, or something like that.
Big time,
like, I want it to go, and then we explore that alternate reality, but through the lives of ordinary people having yeah. ordinary problems in sure. what is now a world run by giant centipedes or something like that.
Well, I mean, I think you're asking for a lot there. I'm not sure that any demographics on this earth are ready for that.
All right, I guarantee you more people
yeah.
would watch it.
The Crankies. Well, I mean, you're probably right. Like, I think if they would even just put out a pilot, I think they'd be amazed by the reception.
Give it a go. That's yeah, all I'm saying. Give it a go.
Give it a good old-fashioned try.
I hate to say it, but so many TV shows have borrowed from soaps that they almost become them anyway. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, always said, like, you know, Star Trek Deep Space Nine was just like a soap on a space station.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it felt like each... You know, that was the sort of, it was the sort of petty family dramas and everyday mundanity that
mundanity.
Was serialized.
Mundanity.
Yeah, like just the same shit we talk about in this podcast. You
no,
know,
I just like the use of the
fucking,
word mundanity.
The
can we talk about things that, I feel like December for me has been a month where I have, I feel like I've had a bit of a rut where I haven't really, you know, like fallen in love with anything. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is like TV shows, gaming, stuff. Like, I feel like I've had 2 or 3 months where I just haven't really found anything overly exciting or whatever. You know, you have like those phases yeah. every once in a while. So
yeah, my input on that for you, to you, Sips, is that I think you have been very much afraid to get into something that you're not going to like.
I want to say is
that... you put like a boycott down on the new WoW expansion, which is fair enough. But then I think you didn't also want to play Cyberpunk.
Yeah, no,
did
I didn't. I still haven't. But listen, what I'm saying is... this month, I've been surprised because I've like come out of the rut. I found TV shows that I really like. I've been playing games that I really like. Like the surprise one for me recently has been Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, Zombies. I've never played Zombies mode before.
I sent
before.
You the copy
Holy
of this.
Holy crap.
Because that was they were supporting
yeah,
the
we
Jingle Jam.
Yeah, we did
bundle,
it for Sweaty Shooters in the Jingle Jam, yeah.
Which was very successful, by the way, if we haven't talked about
we
that.
We will, don't worry.
Yeah,
very,
yeah.
It ended a couple of days ago.
That was last week's yes, news, Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis, jeez.
That was, I'm
but,
sorry.
But I'd never played a Zombies game before, or a Zombies mode. I mean, obviously I've heard of it, like it's...
I knew you
popular.
Would like it because it's your kind
but
of
man,
thing.
Man, it's so good. Holy crap. I just like, I don't know what it is like about it. Just the pacing is phenomenal. Like I love the gunplay, the movement, like the sounds, everything. I love how you upgrade stuff. I love how you can kite zombies around in these big trains and then just murder them all. And oh man, it is so much fun.
My input on this is that, you know, the new COD game, it's COD 17.
Yeah.
They've had a long time
sure.
to perfect this formula.
Yeah.
It sells millions of
I know,
copies.
But I'm not interested in the multiplayer. I'm not interested in the Battle Royale Warzone or anything like that. But the Zombies mode
but
is great.
They've been developing Zombies for 10 years.
Yeah,
probably
it shows,
now.
Man.
And,
it's really
you know,
good.
They really know what makes a fun yeah. Zombies mode. Yeah. And yeah, if you've...
I've been hooked. I've been playing it every day since.
I knew that you'd like it.
I've been playing it every night. I've been streaming it, everything. I've loved it. It's really nice to find something that's not like... It, like just naturally that you like that you get into and you don't feel like you're being like duped into it. Like I know if I would have played WoW, I probably would have liked it on the one hand, but part of me would have always felt like, oh, fuck, you know, I'm wasting my time playing this. Like, you know, this it's not going to lead to good things sort of thing. But whereas like...
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. And I think I know that feeling where you've discovered something.
Yeah.
Like a really cool game. Like, I think it was for me, it was Death Stranding this year.
Oh,
like
that was
like
a good
I wasn't,
one too.
I wasn't excited for it, but I was told that it was different and interesting and I had to play it. And I loved it.
Oh, me
I
too.
Absolutely
I loved it
it
too. It was so good.
And it was totally worth...
I played some doozies this year.
Weird
games that I've been really excited for. Oberdin was one of them as well. Man, I love that.
Wasn't that
Death
a great
Stranding,
game?
Oberdin.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying Zombies. Like, I never thought I would be the kind of guy that would like that sort of mode in that game. Like, I'm not a COD player. I've never really played many card games or whatever, but
geez, you've been playing really it with good. People though. You've taken a leaf out of the PFLEX book and you've retained a couple of friends from the kind of Among Us streams that you did. And I think taking those through to a smaller arena and playing it with friends is actually a really satisfying thing to do.
Talking of my lads, I want to give them a shout out on the podcast, if I may. I know Sips is anti shout out. I don't know if you guys saw the Rust stream.
They knocked it out the park on the Rust stream. You're right. They really
well. Did. If you haven't seen it, I honestly do recommend it. It wasn't the most popular stream of the Jingle Jam, which was a shame, but it did all right. And I think me, Spiff, and Wilson Ayer had a great time. And my lads spent a long time building this world and this story. And Slacks, you remember Sir Action Slacks? He popped in and did a guest appearance, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And I was moved, very, very moved by the fact that these guys all came together and just did it. And I think it summed up for me the Jingle Jam spirit, which is that we all come together, but it's not just us. Obviously, it's all the people that donate. And it's also all these people throughout various streamers' communities that give up their time as well. Like Spiff had these two tech gods who came in and saved the CSGO stream. This hosting company that was in chat just came to our rescue and hosted it for us and stuff. And it was just, it was really a beautiful weekend of coming togetherness and also then raising a shitload of money. So well done.
Yeah, I think there's loads of people who put so much time and effort into Jingle Jam that you don't even realize.
You deserve credit too, dude, because I know you put together one flav of a good bundle this year, and I think you deserve a huge amount of credit.
It went really good this year.
It was good. Yeah. I did well, but it wasn't just me though. Actually, like a lot of people in the OGs, a lot of people have reached out to. A lot of people have played games and know developers and know people and have met people over the time, and so you know they all contributed as well. And I'd say probably a good like 20% of the games that came in from people not that I reached out to, you know, just because they were like, oh, I'm a big fan of Ravs playing this, or a big fan of Leo playing that, or whatever.
That's good.
So yeah, it was a real team effort. It's a funny thing, the Jingle Jam, because people seem to, I think a lot of charity, you know, run their charity like a business, and they have to, right? Like Oxfam have a chief executive and they pay him £1 million or whatever, you know, and it's kind of, when you hear that stuff, you're like, that's weird, but you realize that they have to, right? And that it is worth it, you know, to run this thing like a business and have stores and make sure
that
they actually
lose money. You're keeping £1 million of the money raised as payment.
I'm announcing it
you're
now.
You're entitled.
No, so... Well, I always run Jingle Jam like it's a church fete or whatever, and no one gets anything. You know, we don't have anyone. We it's entirely voluntary, which I always think is the safe way to do it.
Of course.
I don't want necessarily to be one of those things, because you hear about these charities who certainly in America, like the Susan something whatever, who end up only like 10% of their actual donation goes to charity in the end, because a lot of it goes to all the executives. I don't know. I really hate that kind of... I've always been very scared of that, because I feel like that not only undermines the whole point of charity, but it feels like it's just incredibly... Those people are going to hell. Do you know what I mean? Like, the people who run that are going to
also
hell.
Also, don't forget about all those churches that supposedly raise money, but it's just for them. Like, they just buy private jets and shit with it and live large and pay zero taxes. Like, it's a massive scam, which is
I don't know how they can square their faith that in their heads.
They're immoral.
They must be so deluded.
No, I don't think they're deluded. I think they're evil. I think I genuinely do not think. I mean, if you live a lie long enough, I guess you can come to believe it. But I think they're just devious, manipulative sociopaths. Possibly even psychopaths who've just been able to construct a persona that tricks people into thinking they're the right guy to give all their money to. And I know John Oliver did a really good episode about these churches that send people cards or whatever saying you've got to pay it forward and then you'll get some back, but you've got to keep paying in. And then, you know, it's seed money. And if you put $500 of seed money in, God will reward you. And it's things like you have to send in $25 and then they send you back $1, but they say you must now send in $50 of seed money. You must include the dollar bill that you got back as well. So you have to send any money that you receive from them back. and just rinse and repeat, and it's like a huge scam. Anyway, you can look up the episode. It's a really good one, but yeah,
there's some really good stuff. Like, I love John Oliver. I really like his the way he obviously the topics that he tackles are very American centric often, and so therefore don't like necessarily.
Yeah,
but then again, maybe it's the same. Maybe we have the same problems in our country, but we don't know about them because we don't have a show that covers that sort of stuff.
I mean, first of all, I think we're a far less religious society in the UK. It's certainly not.
There's definitely less of a like an interweave between politics and religion.
I mean, you don't get many politicians.
That seems a lot more so in America, right?
Right.
There's definitely some religious influence on.
I mean, when was the last time you saw a British politician talk about God?
No, I know.
It doesn't happen very often.
But they still go through the motions of appearing to go to church and stuff like that.
I mean, geez, everybody fucking at Christmas goes to church. You know what I mean? Everybody in that sort of fusty conservative-y kind of world goes there, and what is it, the orange, what is it, Kris Kringle? I don't know what the fuck it's called. You know when you get the fucking orange and it's got sticks in
midnight mass?
No, it's not. That's Catholic. I'm talking Protestant. It's like you get a fucking orange.
An orange with a candle stuck
in
it.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the fucking, I always say, because I worked for the Church of England.
Sorry,
for
I can't
year,
be more specific.
I love all this religions. The religious chat brings out all the fucks and fuckings. Like, oh, the fuck,
went to
fuck,
a,
fuck me, the fucking orange with the fucking candle.
I went to a Church of England school. I went to a Church of England school for ages, and I went in, when I was in the Scouts. Every Sunday we had to go to church. You know, I was very. I went to Sunday school for years, absolutely years.
Oh, hey,
and my parents.
I've just thought of something,
what?
And this is before I forget it. And I think we have spoken about church in the Scouts before. I remember the episode distinctly. It was 87, episode 87.
Okay, cool.
I could be wrong on the number. But anyway, Twitch has banned the word simp and the word virgin.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention this
as well.
Yeah, this yesterday they did a... They did a town hall, which was like people who sort of like high ups or like community managers at Twitch or whatever. And so they've decided to now take action against people who routinely use terms like simp, incel, or virgin. You're not allowed to call people virgins anymore because it's like rude, I guess, or whatever. I mean, I don't really use the term simp or incel at all, really. They're just not terms that I would default to or really use. But man, I'm gonna miss calling people virgins. Like, that's like my go-to insult. Like, if somebody beats me at a game, automatically they must be a virgin, right? I'll be pretty vocal about it. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. But at the same time, I feel like, from what I can tell anyway, most people in my chat are really sexually active hunks. So maybe it's not that much of a problem at all, really. I don't know.
I'm down for this, right? All this stuff. I think it's a good idea.
Why?
I think maybe for different reasons necessarily than other people think it is, but I think that it's damaging to certain streamers, certainly their income, to casually refer to their audience as simps or white knights or kind of like. You know, I think smaller female streamers who are trying to just be gamers, I think viewers are worried about being called a simp, and that might drive them, that has driven them away often. I think I've got the Twitch app here. I load it up this morning because it just boots up automatically because I use it for.
No explanation needed, sir.
Minecraft add-ons and WoW add-ons, but they've actually moved that off the Twitch app now.
Yeah, it's
so
on,
I don't
like
think
a
I'm ever going to use Twitch app again.
Forge or whatever, Wolf or
but
something.
The Twitch app opens, and the first three streams on there are
titties.
A woman in a swimsuit.
This is all based on stuff you've watched before, by the way. I don't know if you really want to carry it on down this
I'm not
road.
Logged in.
Oh.
So,
no, but even without being logged in, it's still like there's still some... recommendation stuff based on previous viewing. So,
well, look.
So, yeah, a woman in a swimsuit. Sure, go ahead.
A woman
on.
In a swimsuit. a woman with a cleavage.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you were going to say.
A pair of cleavage and someone watching Gordon Ramsay. That is what I've got on my Twitch app, and I'm not logged in. I don't have any. I don't really watch streams from home. Certainly, not on this computer because I'm at home today, and. I'm just like, this is what Twitch is offering up me, I guess, because that's probably what most outsiders want to works. Do you know what I mean? Everything's built on algorithms now, right? So surely that's what works. And I think that's the bigger issue, that, you know, the titties. I know that this streamer with the swimsuit just stands there, because I've seen it before, and she just stands there for hours, like 6 hours by a pool with a little set of microphone headphones on.
Yeah.
Just literally, because, and people pop in and out, people talk to her, she talks in broken English because she's Eastern European or whatever, you know, because I imagine, it's almost like, I think it's almost like it could be pimping, right? Where some guy gets his hot girlfriends and he's like, okay, I'm going to make you a Twitch channel. You're just going to stand here for 6 hours in a swimsuit.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to like talk garbage to chat. And, you know, I'll get a ring of them. We'll get a whole ring of them going. It's like, he's probably sat there in his like fucking gold chain. He's got like his rings. Do you know what I mean? He's got his pimp cane. He's got his pimp hat. You know, he's like, make sure you don't call them simps, because, you know, that will drive them away. And that's not what we want now. And also that'll get you banned.
I think the issue is that, like you said, if there's someone streaming who all of her fans are getting called simps, because they watch the stream.
Yeah.
Like any woman who streams, I'm pretty sure that you'll get some twats turn up. And if you say something and people in the chat criticize, oh, shut the fuck up, you simps. It's like, I get it. Like, that's rough. That sucks. Banning the word simp. Can't you just do that as a channel? Like, that's what I do.
It seems crazy.
With a whole bunch of words.
That some of these words are chosen to be banned when there's other terms that are being used that are not that seem to be like far worse, right? Like, I don't know, like you go on any sort of like first person shooter stream or whatever, and like you know, there's still like still old sort of terms being used that were like used a lot maybe like in the 90s, and but have just sort of like kept being used in gaming, like
the F word,
like the R word, or referring
yes.
to something as like gay, which is not really like a thing you hear much anymore, right? Like I think
people
have
mostly
have kind of like curbed a lot
that
of that stuff. But
I guess, like, I had an email this week from someone who said they so there was an email that came in, and it was like, we've got this expert available for interview. He's a flat earth expert. And I turned to Ben and I was like, does he have a fucking PhD in flat earth studies? Do you know what I mean? Like, how can you be an expert in something that is literally,
right.
It's just, but in the same sense, I feel like there's these people on Twitch who are creating toxic environments, and maybe they want to remove these types of people
from
the platform by stopping them from using terms like incel. Incel does seem like a term that is used by people who would believe in flat earth as well, though. Do you know what I mean? Like those kind of types
the thing
of
is the whole incel movement, and like, you know, what is it the pill, well, I don't know what color pill you meant to
the
take.
Red pill,
yeah, whichever one it is, I'm not taking it. But it's like that whole community. And there's loads of subreddits and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not something to protect. Like, it's not a pleasant place. It's a deeply misogynistic and horrible environment. And an awful lot of the memes and stuff that come out of that sort of, I hesitate to call it community, because it's much bigger than that. We got to protect the poor incels. To me, the removal of the word simps and incels smacks of them defending what they know a lot of their fucking user base is.
Yeah, I mean, there's
they know that a lot of the people
that
watch
sure.
these streams are simps and incels and are desperate and sad, and that they're not defending women or anything like that. I think they're defending fucking incels.
I think
isn't that another way to look at it?
Sure, but I feel like language policing is never a great thing, right? Like I at the same time, I don't want to support toxicity. Obviously, I don't want these places to exist where people can like, you know, sort of all subscribe to this like strange idea or whatever and take it very seriously or whatever. But I feel like that, like, there's a lot of context being missed with a lot of this stuff too, right? You hear people use the term simping for all sorts of things, right? Like, it's kind of one of those terms now that's just lost meaning, and in a way it's just a made up word anyway, and it's just going to get replaced with another made up word, like pee-pee hands or like whatever, you know, like no, but it's just another iteration of that. It's just going to get replaced with something else. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
the word is not worth fighting about.
Word isn't the problem. It's people's mentality. But like, you can't.
I think
you're never
going
to change people's mentality by policing language. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, you have to keep going though. I think that you know, it was back in the day. It was with something we used to. We had the spastic society, you know, for people who had...
Hey, that was their society.
Yeah. Well, that term got adapted and used to mean, you know, someone... It was originally from cerebral palsy, I think, wasn't it?
I mean, I think it was a medical term, wasn't it?
Like, taken and misused. Spastic,
yeah. It just sounds horrible. Yeah. It's such a god-awful word, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's like the word retard. I think at one point that was... People could say and use that word, and it wasn't deemed like a derogatory, toxic thing. Like, this is a long time ago, I think. I don't know. But like, I mean, I remember hearing adults use that term quite freely when I was growing up in like the 80s and stuff. Yeah, like, it wasn't.
But I mean, geez. You also heard people using racist
I'm not defending it, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of this stuff is an evolution as well, right? Maybe this is just the next evolution.
Hard, right? Because if it's in common parlance, like simp, you know, I've definitely used the word simp casually as a joke, and maybe in 10 years that's going to be very frowned upon, and I'm going to apologize for it. But
all right,
you know,
but here's the problem with that.
I don't think that...
What is a simp?
A simp is like kind of like... It's kind of like a white knight, but implied that you're like a big turbo virgin as well. You're like... watching.
So it's like
you're
someone...
Watching, this is my understanding. Maybe that's wrong. But I always thought that it meant that you're like... You're kind of like doing everything you can for this... girlfriend that's not yours, right? You're watching like a girl streamer and you're defending her honor and all this stuff.
But I always thought more importantly,
she doesn't know you or
it
like
was that
you.
They gave a lot of money to these people.
Yes, that's too, it. Yeah. It tends to be that they're paying.
So they're like the super fans who think, you know when you watch these,
when
these
they find out
Lewis,
when they
know,
find out that their favorite girl streamer actually has a life and a boyfriend, and then they're like, I've donated multiple millions of dollars to you in hopes that we could play Twitch sings together one day, and you know, like that. I think that's a simp, right?
I thought it was like that sort of hopelessly addicted to getting the, oh my god, thank you, Carl 47, thank you.
That's turning me on a bit, Flex.
Like that. Sorry, buddy. Like that's simping, right? Is given money and time and being all super nice,
being
Mr.
massively
nice guy
invested.
In chat.
Yeah, and I think like so the term, like I think traditionally it was meant to be sort of a term used for guys who watch girl streamers, but I think now it's being used for, you know, people watching guy streamers. It's being used for all sorts of different things, right? Like you hear that term used a lot around various sort of things, right? Like
And I think some people feel that it is a damaging term that you might think, oh shit, am I a simp? Am I a simp by donating to this streamer? You know, I think Twitch are concerned that there's this movement of
you're gonna somehow be
you know, of because Twitch, you know, a lot of Twitch streamers make the bulk of their income through donations, and Twitch, I don't want that money, I guess, to go away. Not that they see a big cut of it, but I think they do see a cut of the bits, and they see a cut of the subscriptions. That's how they make their money, and I think that's part of it, sure, but I think part of it is also that it does seem like a bit of a, but just a negative thing to have on the platform.
Yeah.
I think it's a step in the direction of healing.
I just think they've got bigger problems. How about the fact that I can't play even a fucking 5 seconds of music? Sort that shit out.
Yeah, well,
separate
issues, obviously, but yeah, like it's, again, I think that's something that may come around eventually, you know, but for now it's not there, and that's because the industry in question is so fucking behind the times. It's
oy vey, it really
is. I think we need like a copyright free
that ain't gonna
Spotify
happen ever.
Or a royalty free like section on Spotify, something that
but
allows
I don't want
us
royalty
to...
free fucking music.
Yeah,
well some
no
of
offense,
it is
but I don't listen to that shit.
Fine though, like
I'm sure it is fine, but here's the thing, people suggest that to me all the
I
time.
I want to listen to some good old fashioned classic rock, for Christ's sake.
Right. I don't want to listen to some guy's version of classic rock who I've never heard of. And he's just, you know, he just plays like, oh, this is kind of a royalty free version of that song. It's like, I just want the song. Nobody opts to listen to. It would be like saying, you know what, we're not going to give you any actual branded products ever again. You can just have cheap, kind of similar imitation versions of that stuff. It's just as good. It's not just as good. That's why everybody's heard of these bands and they haven't heard of these guys.
I guess here's the question. Would you be willing to pay, though?
Yes.
Would you be willing to pay, like, a certain amount of money to have?
Yeah, yes. Okay, for one.
I've said multiple times, I want a plugin that allows me to plug Spotify into Twitch. I will fucking pay. Tell me what the amount is. If it's like £1,000 a month, I'm not going to do it. But nobody's watching Twitch streams for the music. Like, if you're sitting there and just streaming music...
There's still people playing copyright music on stream. Like, still people doing it.
I mean, as long as you delete the VOD, right?
I guess apparently, so, yeah. So if you don't problem, if you don't create VODs and or you don't allow people to create clips either... But again, without VODs and clips, this is sort of...
You're damaging your channel.
You are, really, yeah. Because you VODs and clips are the things that reach out beyond your channel, right? Like, sometimes they'll get posted on Reddit, or sometimes they'll get posted on Twitter, and then people have another way of discovering you, and maybe turning into a viewer or a sub or a follower,
simp.
Whatever. They can simp for you. Yeah, exactly. And maybe
but if we didn't have clips, I actually think my entire community would collapse within a moment.
Yeah.
We rely on them very heavily. I mean, there are 13 clips that are exclamation mark senile about me now. Senile 1, senile 2, and all the way up to 13 of me burning myself to death with a Molotov in CSGO, jumping off something and dying, shooting teammates. And that is like part of the lore and history. It would be like, have you ever seen 1984?
Yeah.
Or Reddit?
Yeah, I've read it.
You know the way they talk about if you can remove a person from their past, you destroy the sense of who they are. And I think if you delete all the clips and all the VODs and everything, you're kind of deleting that person's past, because then it only lives in memory and memories can fade with no permanent construct.
I mean,
that
there's certain clips
like the vital historical documents that are the clips.
Yeah, there's certain clips of mine that I kind of wish were gone that I can't seem to get rid of, even though I've deleted all my clips and stuff for this DMCA stuff. Like, yesterday is a good example. There's no context for it either. Like, at the time, it was kind of funny, I guess. Like, I was playing Red Dead 2, and I discovered that you were able to kick dogs, which is like a running joke for like my channel or whatever.
You're kicking dogs.
I used to kick a lot of dogs in GTA.
Animal. It's not that
no.
is some sort of animal.
But, so this clip was shared with somebody who has no context for this. And like, I don't think that they mind or whatever. They probably could see the funny side of it. But like, you watch it back and you're like, holy crap, like that does not look great. Like, it's just, that is kind of disturbing. Yes. Like, without any context whatsoever, it's really,
well, it's really how joy filled you are when you see that you can kick
a
dog.
Oh my god,
it's
yeah, like a,
you're so
I'm like
your eyes light
and everything.
Up.
It's like, you know, you shouldn't be that excited about, you know, abusing an animal, but like, it was just kind of funny at the time, I guess.
I'll be honest with you, I was kind of when I first saw that clip, because I remember seeing it with you, the dog kicker, and I was actually kind of shocked.
Yeah,
like, I know that sounds silly, but I actually was like, wow, I didn't know Sips hated animals.
No, but it's not that I do.
That's out of
it was
context.
Just like,
right, I know, it's just a gag.
In,
it's like
in
a running
GTA,
gag.
I just used to, because you can do it. Like, and this is what I always say to people. People are like, oh, you're fucking sick, man. Why do you like kicking dogs? Well, the thing is, I didn't fucking animate the dog kicking sequence. I'm not the guy who fucking sat in his studio working on like the animations for kicking a dog and like getting the motion cap for that. Like, you know what I mean? he's the sicko. Like, whoever fucking sat down in a meeting and said, okay, guys, we really need to make sure that the player is able to kick dogs. That's the sicko. It's not me.
Can you make the dog's head really snap back? Fucking, like, it's really...
It's crazy, though.
Really in agony.
It's crazy, though, isn't it? Like, okay, we're here to choose whimpering sounds for the dog after it's been kicked today. It's going to probably take about 2 hours, and then lunch is on us, guys. Don't worry, but let's get through this.
What
we're
we
in
got
crunch
is
mode.
We've got everyone to bring in their dogs, and we're just going to make them whimper, and we're going to just make them sad. One by one, and we're going to record them, and then we'll just choose what's the best. So we got all these things here. We got a baseball bat. We got some poking sticks.
I think, again, I don't really like talking about this clip much, but that is kind of one of my favorite things to think about. The fact that, like, probably a great number of people were involved in making this, like, appear in a video game. Like, they had to have had meetings and stuff. There's no way that just Jimmy from the art department did all this on his own, right? Like, somebody had to sign it off. Somebody had to fucking test it.
There are documents somewhere where they're like, right, what are we going to let the player do in the game? Well, they're going to drive cars and they can, you know, hold up banks and they can punch people and they can kick dogs. And no one went, whoa, 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 do we need that in the game? And I guess someone else was like, well, God, yeah, you got to be able to kick dogs. Otherwise, people aren't going to believe this. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are in the dog kicking department. It's probably like a 4-man team.
But you can kick a dog, but like, how come? Okay. This is going to sound a bit weird, and I don't want this to appear in a game.
How come
but
I can kick a dog, but not a woman?
No.
Is that what you're going to say?
Where's the line? Like, well, why can't you take a hamster out of its cage and stamp on it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. Like, where's the line?
He's
like,
sick.
Why did they put it into the game in the first place?
Okay, I think what's happened is, bear with me here. I think what's happened is it's a very common thing that when you are fighting against
a dog,
enemy AI opponents, like you go to a little camp and there's loads of guys hanging around there. A couple of them have got dogs and they're going to attack you, right?
Right.
So you've got to fight the guys and you've got to fight the dogs. And that's like a thing. And so I think what happens is that dog kicking thing gets put into the game for other dogs as well. And so when you fight a wolf in the mountains, suddenly it's got all of its
we're just talking about GTA. I'm just mostly talking about GTA here. But actually, honorable mentions to Red Dead, the daddy of all animal abuse, right? Because... many animals in that game must they have had to animate, like, you know, being shot in the head or kicked or being like T-boned by another horse or, you know what I mean? Like, goddamn, like much of their budget.
We've had before, though, where you can also run over children and, kill old grannies and stuff.
Are
like,
there
no, there's not.
Red
you
Dead?
Can't kill children in any video game. I think it's actually against the law.
Yeah, no, I believe it is. And rightly so.
Like, that's why there's no children in any of the Fallout games or, like, there are children that you can speak to, but you can't shoot them or anything. Like, it's a thing, right? I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
I feel like
there's no children in GTA games that you ever are able to run over with your car and stuff.
No, but there are kids in Cyberpunk.
Okay.
And I'm sure there were kids in The Witcher. Weren't there kids in The Witcher?
I don't think so, no. Not that I
recall. There's some pretty dark stuff in some of these. But the point is, I guess the point I was trying to make wasn't about kids. It was more about people versus animals.
Yeah.
You know,
kids
we're quite
are
happy.
People.
We're quite happy murdering hundreds of people.
I mean, I drive on the sidewalks in GTA 5. Like, I'll quite happily plow over anybody, but... You know,
I get it.
Grannies, well, you name it, whatever.
You're right. It is a weird.
It's weird.
So interesting. So, as the
kids would say, it's a bit of a weird champ.
Yeah, that's a bit of maybe not so pog, actually, when you think about it.
No, that's not pog. It's cringe.
That's
mate.
Cringe.
That's
I'm
is.
A cringe in heart.
So going back to what we were talking about before, I've started watching The Crown.
I've been meaning to watch that, actually. I want to see that. I kind of like the history of the royals and stuff. I know it's not meant to be super realistic, but I still kind of am interested enough that I'd probably get around to
it
watching
it. It is interesting. Yeah. It's really
interesting. You know, the fucking papers went nuts about it. Like, mainly, I think, the Daily Mail, because, of course, that's, like, the royal family's biggest mate as a newspaper.
Well, it's kind of hotting up now, too, though, isn't it? Isn't the show up to the point with Diana and Thatcher and a bunch of...
It's got old Gillian Anderson is playing as Thatcher.
Is she Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, wow.
She's great, Gillian Anderson.
Everybody loves Gillian Anderson. God. I don't fucking give a shit. I haven't given a shit since the 90s when she was numero uno in FHM.
No, but she's come over to the UK,
I don't care
and
now
she's
either.
Doing loads of British sort of... accent sense
she's not
and
good.
Everything she's in is good like
she's not
in
good.
I think she must be a rare sort of case where Americans can come over and do British accents because I find for the most part they are not very good at that, whereas on the other side British actors going over to America and then doing American accents. I've been fooled many times, like Stringer Bell before anybody really knew who Idris Elba was. In The Wire, Stringer Bell, I just assumed he was just like an American guy, you know, like he was, yeah, I was totally,
I didn't know he was convinced. British. His accent's yeah. excellent, but like, you know,
and same with McNulty as well, actually. I just figured McNulty was just sort of like an American actor. I didn't realize.
What's the name of the guy? Benedict Cumberbatch. His American accent is Doctor Strange. Is not very
no,
good.
No, I mean,
it's
so, just a I'm little not bit saying sort like,
of like, I am a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so some right. of them are terrible, obviously, like, and vice versa. But I find, for me personally, I've been like fooled.
She went to London.
By
so
British
by the way,
Gillian
Anderson went to London Film School. Gillian Anderson went to London Film School.
That helps.
She lived in Crouch End. She went to Coleridge Primary School.
It's such an English name, isn't it? Crouch End.
Yeah, Crouch End. Crouch End. Doesn't fucking
Greater
mean
wobble
anything.
Bottom.
But, I mean, but she became famous in The X-Files. You know, she was... The X-Files was Gillian Anderson for me. And then, obviously, she disappeared for a while. But then she came back and she did... She was in Hannibal. I watched all of that. She was great in that.
It's terrible.
I watched all of The Fall, which is a great, like, TV...
These are all shows TV. Mrs. F loves, by the way. I'm just saying
I love
The
Fall. I watched all of that. And I also, you know, and American Gods, she was in that for a little bit.
Oh, I didn't...
And
I so couldn't I feel get like into that. That was way too... I don't mind weird, but that was just, like... I
that
just
is
couldn't.
Neil Gaiman shit in a nutshell. Yeah, fairies and wank and weirdness, and some people love it, but yeah. I couldn't get it either.
No,
it frustrated me because it was just too off the wall. Like, felt like there was no.
Yeah, it did feel like way too sense. Off the wall for me. I don't know. Maybe
it was just like what are the rules? What are the fucking rules in this universe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I watched the other day? Yonderland. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So you've heard of Horrible Histories, right?
Yeah. God, my kids love that.
Classic kids show. Yeah. My kids adore that show.
It is great.
They made
a
sitcom
funny.
Called Ghosts.
All right,
on the BBC. That's really fucking good.
Oh,
I
is that
Ghosts.
The one where the girl goes moves into yes. like the old mansion and there's tons
yes,
of
yes.
dead people still
and
there?
She can see them.
She can
gets
see
a head
them,
injury. She can
can't.
See them and hear them. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah. Yeah, that was
so
good,
they
actually.
Also
like
made
that.
Yonderland for Sky. And again, Sky, not makers of good TV shows. I don't think they've ever made anything good other than apparently
Chernobyl.
Someone in my chat last night. That's not Sky. That's HBO.
No, Chernobyl was Sky. Sky funded, I think. Not like made by Sky, but Sky
right.
money for sure.
Let's
was
have
involved.
A look.
Okay.
It's
I believe
the
that.
Series was produced by HBO in the US and Sky UK. All right. Well, all right. Okay. That's their good one.
That's the only one I can think of. Oh, and Gamora as well. I'm pretty sure they bankrolled some of Gamora, which is.
I mean, if they put money into it, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't feel like a Sky show. Sky shows always feel a bit shit. Yonderland is fucking awful.
Okay.
It's really awful.
Now we're getting to the nitty gritty.
We are. Let me get down to it. So we watched it last night because my dad recommended it to me, bless him. And he was like, have you watched Yonderland yet? And I was like, oh yeah, I remember him telling me to watch that. So we watched it last night. Me and Mrs. F are sitting there. 2 minutes in, we look at each other and we're just like, ugh. And we watched the whole episode. And it's only 22 minutes long. It honestly felt like it was an hour long. And my wife said, she was like, is this really only 22 minutes? And she was like, check in. She was like, God, this feels like an eternity. It's
oh,
so
I hate
bad.
When shows are
it's
like that.
It's so
you're
bad.
You're just slogging and through it just to see if it's worth watching. But you know already that it's not.
You know within a minute
yeah,
this ain't
yeah,
for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And you give it a chance, but it's just never.
I hate it when there's one actor or actress or child actor usually who is so fucking bad that you can't like pay any attention anymore. Like you
can't
you're,
get
like,
past
every
it.
Time you can't get over it. It just pulls you out of it. So, and it's like, oh God, that's happened a couple of times to me.
Yeah.
It almost happens in The Expanse because there's a woman with an English accent in The Expanse and she's just, I think it's just the worst.
Right.
And it almost ruins the whole show for me because I
shame.
Love The Expanse. But,
that's a show I couldn't get
I
into.
Watched, I finished watching a couple of shows recently. I watched on my own, I watched Dark. I watched the whole thing through.
What did you think? Of series one or the whole run?
The whole run. Series one, two, and three.
Wow.
I loved it. Every series I thought was...
And did you watch it at normal speed?
Yeah.
Wow. I watched it at 2x speed quite a lot of the time.
Okay, but...
And other bits I skipped.
I'm just curious like where you got up to where you decided that it was too boring for you to watch. Because right. there's kind of like a point in the show, I feel like every show, where it sort of hooks you in. I tried watching it previously and I couldn't really get through half of the first episode. But I was watching it dubbed, and I'm not a fan of dubbing generally.
No, I always watch the subtitles.
So when I came back to watch it subtitled, I enjoyed it more. But it definitely took me a little while to get into. It was interesting enough to keep me going, but I feel like after a certain point, and I'm not exactly sure how to pinpoint that, I was hooked and I really, really liked it. I loved where it was going and stuff.
My issue with it was these episodes don't need to be an hour long. And I feel like any of the fucking shows that have hour long episodes, you're going to have half of that episode people standing and looking at each other in a darkened area.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. There's a lot of pondering, a lot of wistful looks, a lot of like just I don't need to see the person come in the front door, walk into the hallway, put their keys down, get a glass of water, cough, and then go, oh, hey, how are you? Just cut to the chase.
I know, but that all that
cut to the chase.
All that,
it's
all that,
too much
all
that, fucking about.
All that stuff kind of is more enjoyable when you realize like the sort of overall like goal of the show and like what's happening. Like, did you how far into it did you get? Like, what,
the end of series one?
Oh, you watched all of series one?
Yeah,
oh,
I watched the whole of series one.
Jeez.
And by the end of
it,
was
hooked
by
about halfway through series one. So
I wanted to know what was in the fucking cave and all that shit. I wanted to hear what's going on here. And I was intrigued.
Okay.
But it was just so cocking slow.
I don't know about Dark. I'm really half on it. I
just
kind of hated
slow.
It.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm not saying it needs to be fucking Roland Emmerich, you know, Independence Day, super fast
enough,
and white. But it's just...
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just, if the characters aren't that interesting, do we need to spend... like, what is it, 12 hours watching this story play out?
Okay, well, listen.
And you know that the way these things work is it's like, here's the interesting hook that's going to hook you in. Like Lost. Lost did the same shit. Showed you some of the interesting stuff. And then there's just filler and boring crap
on
the side of it.
I love the whole, like, I'll spoil it a little bit. So if you're listening and you're planning on watching it, maybe don't listen to this bit. But the thing I found really interesting about Dark and part of what kept me going was I loved how characters from present time could travel in time, either to the past or the future, and get stuck there and still age relative to, like, you know, the time that we're on right now.
Yeah.
Or get stuck there. But then the repercussions of people getting stuck there in those times, but then having to live there and just sort of having to put up with it had huge consequences down the line, right? Because it meant that they would do things that normal humans would want to do, obviously, like create children or create a life for themselves. But oftentimes they were doing this with somebody that they didn't even realize they were related to somehow down the line or whatever, which would then just introduce new problems and stuff. And it was like, it's just such a cool idea. But season three is like a bit of a trip at first, but it just wraps up so nicely. Like it makes the end of season three and therefore the end of the entire show. It explains it super well. And you're not left feeling like, oh shit. Like there's a couple of things that you look back and you're like, okay, some of this stuff wasn't explained super well, but it was just like kind of used to bridge you over to like other parts of the story or whatever.
Right.
And you kind of look back and you're like, what do I want to know more about? But actually, like, overall, the whole thing wraps up really nicely. It's good.
So I want to know, imagine if these TV shows, because sometimes mostly TV shows like take place over about a year, right? And so you can expect a season to be a year.
Yeah.
Like, because that's usually how long it takes to get out. They do one season a year. It feels like you know, usually at the end of the year, maybe they're going on a summer holiday and they'll come back and it'll be the new year starts or whatever, right? It feels like a thing.
Yeah.
Are we going to have like a COVID season? Is like season five of this series going to be suddenly COVID is in this place and everyone's in lockdown, they're wearing masks, like,
depends,
you know,
on the show.
Just
some shows might try it, some shows
might not have a choice. Cinema is gonna add this, or is
think
it gonna
how
be this?
Boring COVID's been,
it has been, but
for the people that haven't been frontline medical workers or suffering from the disease or whatever, or have been lost
thing,
their jobs,
like,
but think
an
how fucking boring
memorable
it
event in
yeah but
our
you don't
want to
see, and I've just lived through, I don't want, like, the reason these shows are interesting is because they show you something where maybe you haven't lived through it. Like, it's inventive and it's a fiction. If it's literally like, hey, remember lockdown? Well, now that it's over, we're going to have a whole series about it. It's like, fuck off.
So what about The Crown, though, for example? Do you know what I mean?
What, the Queen barely leaves the house for a whole season?
Imagine The Crown was filming this, you know, modern day. Because
I don't know if The Crown will cover modern day.
Eventually, no, it probably won't.
It'll probably, I'd imagine that the crown will probably, because kind of like after, it's in terms of like royalty and stuff, kind of after Diana passed away and stuff, I think history for the royals has been pretty...
It's been boring. Dull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
William and Harry boring. Grew up and got married like, and had kids.
What's the big exciting... I mean, the
Prince
most
Charles
exciting
made
thing...
sausages.
Right. The most exciting thing that's happened is...
Prince Andrew didn't sweat for a couple of years.
I mean, I guess they could have Prince Andrew and Epstein. That's an episode.
Yeah, I suppose. But again, there's like... Maybe eventually they'll do it, but I can't imagine that they're in a mad rush to get to that.
No, you're right. I think too recent history won't translate. I think when you look at a lot of the stuff in The Crown, it is things like the Falklands crisis, or actually a lot earlier often stuff. Like
I mean, that's a major historical thing. I mean, that was the big turning point for Thatcher, right? Like without Falklands, I don't think she would have ever even been reelected, right, at the time. Like, she was pretty unpopular. And the whole Falklands thing just sort of turned it around for her, from my understanding. I'm not like super
So, by
into
the way,
history,
one of the criticisms of the show is that those two events, the Charles and Diana stuff and the Falklands stuff, did not happen at the same time.
No.
Like, they've put them together. The writers of the show have put it together, sure, for the sake of the drama. So, in regards to, are they going to have COVID stuff? Or, you know, how interesting can it be for the royals? I guess in a way, they could just try and make it more interesting dramatically somehow.
Do you think that, like, you know, with everything going on with COVID, the second wave is like hitting pretty hard. There's lots of places that are potentially going back into lockdown, but they seem to be delaying a lockdown because they know people really want to like have a good Christmas or whatever.
Right.
Do you think that we... as like a Western society probably place way too much emphasis on Christmas? I mean, I think we do, like obviously commercially and stuff like that, but like,
right,
even with all this going on, like, you know, it's probably just this year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't really be having 40 people over to your house for Christmas this year.
Let me tell you something. I don't know anyone who takes Christmas more seriously than my mum. She is fucking obsessed with Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she's not alone. And
no, she's not. Like, people lose their minds for Christmas.
They do. The entire year comes down to this one day. As the year narrows towards Christmas, it's like becomes such a huge focus in the minds of so many people. It is bizarre.
Yeah, I don't
I mean,
get
Christmas
it.
Is all right.
Yeah.
You know, my kids love it. I know
the same,
why.
Yeah.
They love it because of the presents.
I do. I would not celebrate Christmas if not for having children. I just wouldn't bother. Like, I wouldn't decorate. I wouldn't put up a tree, nothing. I would just be like, whatever.
I'm trying to remember what me and Mrs. F did before the kids. We'd have a tree.
Yeah.
We'd have presents. We'd have the family over. Like, my mum would come up with Mrs. F's parents.
Yeah.
And we'd have a family meal, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like a huge fucking deal because of the kids.
Well,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
they love
fine.
It.
They
love
it. I used to love it too when I was a kid, but like,
right,
it's
right.
A lot of work when you're an adult, right? And
yeah,
a lot of
Jesus.
Work that almost just doesn't really seem worth it if not for kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
I make the effort for my kids because I know they like it so much.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't make that much effort like without kids. I just wouldn't.
It's such a big deal for some people.
Maybe some years, maybe if I was feeling like really fruity, I'd put up a tree, but I wouldn't every year. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
think it's part of culture. It's part of a social community fabric, which people need to keep, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too,
going,
yeah.
and inform like a kind of build this, at least sort of, if not community spirit, at least like an awareness that you know, that you should spend time with other people in a world where we're so increasingly detached.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good point,
it's an excuse to see people and do stuff. It's necessary for to keep us being who we are. And I think that's, it's a very British thing as well, the British Christmas, where you see your family and you do these sort of weird traditions and watch the Queen's speech with your grandma or whatever.
Well, yeah. My mum is obsessed.
And it's a funny old thing, and it's going to be different this year.
I think it's interesting from a point of view of tradition as well. Like, I know my parents, like their view on Christmas and how they celebrate Christmas and stuff feels very much like they grew up in the 1950s and 60s, and it's almost like like for them, Christmas is like Bing Crosby Christmas, you know, like the very North American, over the top,
right,
like, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, and you have your eggnog and you have your sweaters and stuff, and like, it's a big deal, right? Like, that's what they grew up with.
Mm.
And therefore I grew up with it being kind of a big deal. but maybe not so much of a big deal. And like, I'm passing on this tradition, but I'm interested to see how it evolves, like, you know, what my kids will do with their kids and so on and so forth. Like, yeah. I wonder if it'll lessen or if it'll like amplify, or, you know what I mean? It's,
right. I think you have to weigh up, like, a lot of people are criticizing the idea that you're able to, it's certainly in the UK, we're allowed to meet up with our families over this sort of, we have sort of a Christmas period where you can get on with it if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to do it responsibly.
I understand that. And I'm actually not going to see my family that time, but I'm gonna ring up my mom, and we're gonna get a chat on Zoom. I'm gonna ring up all my relatives I haven't spoken to for a while, and I'm gonna, you know, make an effort to talk to people I haven't talked to for a while.
The main reason I used to love Christmas, like, apart from the kids love it, was that it meant time off work.
Yeah, I used to love that too.
That we would chill at home for like a week and a half or whatever,
For free, you know. Yeah. Like, and you were lucky enough to be high on the pecking order, you could swing a bit more time as well, right?
I used to love that.
The skeleton crew over Christmas was almost almost just as good as fully being off, right? Because you just
nobody does anything. And the thing about it is that, you know, you've got to get your shopping in before all the shops close on Christmas, and you've got to do all this other stuff. So you end up sort of almost like preparing yourself for a little break away where you can just kind of feel like, yeah, I don't have to do any shopping. I'd have to do much else. People, you know, I have to, you know, visit for a while, and we'll have a drink, and it'll be quite friendly. And it's always very jolly. I don't know. Like, it's always slightly better than you expect as well. Cause you think, oh, I'm going to have to spend this time with my parents. But actually, once you're there, you know, it's actually quite nice. So anyway, we're going to end this podcast because if you're listening to this on Christmas, I hope you've spent all Christmas listening to this.
It's been a longer one than usual.
Well done.
Christmas is done now. You missed it.
This is us done till the new year, right? So
is it? We're not doing one next week?
Well, you want to do one on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
Well, it's like an hour in the morning.
I got nothing else to do.
What the fuck else have I got to do? Christ.
Yeah, same.
No, me neither. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
And have a wonderful
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Well, maybe you might get another one before the new year, depending, but yeah, have a good Christmas, stay safe, be responsible and stuff, and thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Good night. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?